WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And no, your ears do not deceive you. It is not a Thursday night, but it is a Saturday night. And we have just watched NXT TakeOver 25. And, well, we're here to talk about it. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, it was a hell of a 2.5-hour show filled with hard-hitting action, excitement, which you can talk about at wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or on twitch.tv/WTLive. You can tweet at wildtalkradio, at rockradioshow, at Lynn's Ward throughout the night if you would like to comment about the show. But we're not alone.
We aren't alone. We have guests.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega.
I think I need ice after some of these matches.
Good lord. You're not kidding.
Yeah. And then there's...
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Kittens.
Okay, number one, Rock, fuck you. Number two, forget the elite. Tonight's show was goddamn awesome.
Some would say it's a true alternative in sports entertainment.
We definitely had super kicks at this one, too.
I mean, that was a very clear and utter shot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Nigel not being subtle with that one.
And he didn't walk his back. Oh, wait.
Wait. So we're here talking NXT TakeOver. There were 5 matches on the show.
And you can definitely say that none of these matches under-delivered. In fact, they all over-delivered in more ways than one. We had people die for our sins tonight, as they do every TakeOver. But I feel like, I don't know why, and maybe it's just what happened last week with AEW, with the whole atmosphere that's going on, that tonight was a little bit more charged, and tonight felt like, for the first time in a long time, that they had something they had to prove with this one.
They did have to come out and prove something, that they're still awesome. Guess what?
They did.
They can still deliver awesome wrestling. Who knew WWE can deliver awesome wrestling? Shocker.
Part of WWE can.
Well, yeah. But that's beside the point. A WWE brand can still deliver great sports entertainment on a Saturday night. So, so on Thursday when we did the preview, we all sat here going, so where are we going to put Riddle and Strong? Third, fourth, sort of in the middle, sort of that cooldown bridge match? Your opening contest, Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong.
You know, your opening match sets the tone for your entire show, right? You can tell how good or how bad a show is generally going to be based on what opens the show and how well they performed. Strong and Riddle went out there, burned it to the ground, tore the roof off, and left everybody wanting more. This was a hell of a match, a hell of a fight. This is so good.
This was the most hard-hitting match of the night because they just went out there and beat the holy hell out of each other with kicks and slaps and punches and you name it, and suplexes. Whew, this was really good.
This is one of those matches that feels like they know they're not going to be anticipated as much as the other matches because there's no title on the line. There isn't as much of a feud buildup. So they just went out to prove why they should have anticipated that match.
Like, tell everyone in the back, this is the bar, now go for it.
They had some ground game, and then they just went strike after strike after strike after strike, suplex strike, submission strike, suplex kicks, backbreakers.
Matt's Riddle back is now hamburger after this match.
Yeah, well, his is the first of many.
we'll touch on that later.
Not a good night to be back.
No,
Matt. But I like...
But the chiropractor, you're going to make money.
Right? I liked how vicious Riddle got to be in this match because we don't get to see that really, really, really aggressive side of him on TV. And this is the second or third time that we've gotten to see it. I like him better when he's just really pissed off.
Well, this is one of the first times he's really had competition. I mean, you've had him in, no offense, Cassius Ohno. Wasn't that, you know, great of a match. It was just a highlight Riddle. Now he's starting to face people who are going to give him contests, at least in the eyes of, you know, the storyline. And, yeah, they're going to push him to his limit, and that's when he's going to have to snap a little to, you know, survive. And, boy, did he have to do that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The story told was, like, Riddle's hurting, and he couldn't lock in the bro mission. And it played towards the end of it. It's like he tried to lock it in, but because he was so hurt, he just couldn't lock it in, and he had pulled out different moves in his repertoire, and boy, did he ever.
That's one of the nice things about the storylines throughout tonight was you had things that made people have to alter what they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
It started with this, and you started to see it take on in other matches, but it just kind of shows the diversity of your crew and being able to, you know, work an injury and not be able to do flips off of a bum leg.
Yeah, well... Anyway, there's that. Just, there's the one spot with all those running knees in the corner.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, my God. Knee after knee after knee after knee. It's like, okay, all right.
Is he going to have a facelift?
Right?
That's what you have to ask yourself, you know?
That really was the big question. This was a tremendous match. That the finish, like the Tombstone Styles Clash thing, whatever it's called, that was awesome.
That was sick.
It was a nice change from what we normally see.
It was. So, Matt Riddle got the win. A pinfall win, not a submission win. Really enjoyable match. Great opener. Lit. Some would say it was lit. Bro.
I'm usually the one to groan, but it's just nice to have someone else do it for once.
But, yeah, I have no complaints about this one.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. Good job, Encino Man.
It's just, like I said, it's nice to see another side of Riddle's personality. Because, you know, after a while, the whole bro and the whole lit and the whole NX or NR, whatever it is, N17 reference that I make about him, and just the whole attitude in general sort of grates on you after a while, because you're just like, God, would you just get pissed off about something?
You're over his laid-back attitude.
Yes, I'm over his laid-back attitude a little bit. And so, you know, the fact that we did get to see that personality shift in Riddle and see that there is more underneath the surface than just this chill dude was really, really, really nice. And again, we also got to see what Roderick Strong could really do. Like, I feel like poor Roderick, we're not really talking about him at all in this match, and he'd put on a goddamn show, and I feel like it's been a long time since we've seen Roderick be able to do that.
Because he's been in tag matches forever, so it's like getting him in a singles opportunity is far and rarity at this point, but watching him do it is tremendous.
Well, I was going to say, he's been the, and no offense to him, he's been the stooge for a while for the Undisputed Era. He's just been the guy to help run out and either try to help or cost Adam Cole the matches. So, yeah, he doesn't get a lot of those opportunities to actually wrestle and shine, but you give him a spotlight, he'll show you why he's, you know, a former spotlighted member in ROH, and why he was able to sign here, and why he's just that damn good.
And why he may or may not be the next, I shouldn't say the next, but a future challenger for the NXT title. We'll have to see.
So so we did this on the CB Radio Not So Live podcast that's available now, CBRadioLive.com for Double or Nothing. It's time for the Undisputed Era scorecard, Brent. Where are we at?
0-1.
Okay.
By the way, for picks, everyone went Riddle. I had Shenanigans. Boy, I was a little off on that, but everyone got it right. So, yay us.
Yay.
It's nice when we get the results promptly.
Right?
Okay, number one, just a few cleanups on this. Lindsay, it's NC-17. Number two, God damn you for that reference. And number three, go to Hell Omega.
You're welcome. y'all don't know out there in listener land. It doesn't, you don't want to know what I'm talking about. Because if I say it, you're never going to be able to unsee it ever again.
No. Just
trust me. So I'm going to spare all you listeners out there, and also if you're under 18, I don't want to get in trouble. So not going to say it. Just not going to say it. But they've all heard it. They know what I'm talking about.
So when? Anyway, I was going to make a reference. Not going to do it. Next. Move. Next match. No. Just go.
Next. Up next. They just continued with the awesomeness, because we went from Roderick Strong and Matt Riddle straight into the tag ladder match.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Holy crap. This match.
It was the four-way ladder match for the NXT Tag Team titles. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Undisputed Era versus the Street Profits versus,
Forgotten Sons.
Forgotten Sons. That's who it was. The Forgotten Sons. Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. We said it on the post-show, or on the pre-show. I'm going to say this now. Somebody give Kyle O'Reilly a damn medal. The child died for our sins tonight multiple times in this match. Jesus. I mean, Jesus.
He was MVP of this match.
He was.
When they came out and we saw the Undisputed Era and it's just Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, my comment to Lindsay was, oh God, Kyle has no supervision. We're in trouble. And dear God, we were right.
I responded with, he's going to do something stupid. Watch. And what did he do? Multiple stupid things.
Oh, he did some stupid stuff, but some other people decided, hey, look, he's unattended. Oh, God.
He fell off a ladder. Looked like he was going to kill himself. He got a ladder thrown into him, because who thought that was a safe idea?
He got thrown into the side of a ladder that was on the ground.
That too.
That spot is not safe.
None of the spots were safe. None of them.
No, absolutely not.
If
Roderick gets to be the messiah of the backbreaker, then he gets to be the messiah of the broken back.
Basically. I mean, I feel like what happened in this match, and I know it's planned to the teeth so that way nobody gets hurt, but it was, okay, let's put 8 people in the ring together. Let's give them ladders on live television and let's see what the hell happens. And this is what happened. You just had people throwing people into ladders everywhere. People getting thrown off ladders, falling off ladders, spearing people with ladders. Just, you know, it's like, and I almost feel like it was 8 people who have never maybe done a ladder match before that they were trying to figure out how to do a ladder match. It's almost like when they put Balor in one, and because Balor had never done one before and he was just like, yeah, okay, let's see how this works.
Ooh, a shiny.
A shiny.
What can I do with this? Oh, God.
I mean, not to say that this wasn't an incredibly excellent match, because it absolutely was. Like, it puts all of their ladder matches, I feel like, in NXT to shame it was this good.
It's up there.
There was some stupidity to be had in this.
That 6-man ladder match from a year and a half ago at the WrestleMania.
The American title?
Yeah, that was, I think that was the best ladder match in NXT history, but this was right up there.
This is right up there.
And I said Kyle O'Reilly is MVP, so everyone's down and he somehow gets back in the ring and he, like, he's the heel, but he's sort of the underdog at this point because he's just has the crap beat out of him all night by ladders, and he's at the bottom of it. And then, what, Jason Ryker is his name, right?
Yeah.
He starts
Gunner
from TNA fame comes out, and the look on Kyle's face is like, I'm dead. How do
he
I
look
move?
Like someone was aiming a gun at him.
Help, boys, got anyone?
I have a reference for you.
Okay.
The second Kyle O'Reilly saw Jackson Ryker, all I heard was Sarah McLachlan playing.
Yes.
He knew he was going to die.
Yes.
He had the look of like, oh God. And it just went slow-mo and black and white.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's when he knew he fucked up.
Yep.
He was dead.
But there was it was that moment when everybody's cheering for Kyle O'Reilly and I'm sitting here and I was like, did they just accidentally turn Fish and O'Reilly face? Did they, like, fuck that up and accidentally turn them baby face? Because I feel like that's what happened.
For the moment, they did.
I mean, you're going to cheer for anyone who gets ragdolled that much and still gets up.
So,
well, essentially, there were 6 faces in the match and 2 to 3 heels.
Yeah. Jason Ryker just beat the crap out of everybody. So, like, they told a really good story in this matchup. It's like, they had a lot of time to kill in this one. So it's like, they were spot after spot, crazy spot after crazy spot, dies, whatever you had, whatever. Then he comes out, and the match slowed down. And there are going to be people who complain about the match slowing down, and people were chanting boring, whatever. That's the point.
They needed a break, y'all.
They needed a break. It's just like, and it was the perfect thing. It's like, you're trying to create a monster guy, and it's like taking everyone to try to take him out. And you have guys doing dives over the top rope, and he kept getting up.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I said it on Thursday, right? The Forgotten Sons are a trio. Mm-hmm. So it's, how is that trio going to affect the match? Is, you know, who's going to fight in it? And then what's the third one going to do? So we had the two come out to actually fight in the match. And then they had a strategy that was Ryker was going to come out at some point in the match. And he was going to start kicking ass and taking names and chewing bubblegum to win them the match. And basically run defense. Because you saw O'Reilly and Fish doing it. Or when O'Reilly was down, Fish was running defense. When Fish was down, O'Reilly was desperately trying to run defense. But he was kind of already dead. You didn't see the Street Profits necessarily doing that. They did it, I think, once or twice, but it was heavily cited that Undisputed Era was doing it, and then the Forgotten Sons did it. And poor Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, we're just not talking about them at all, but they did do stuff too. But
they were there.
Anyway,
they got some shots in, but they weren't the major focus of the matchup.
Yeah.
No, so it's like the Forgotten Sons use their numbers game to the best of their advantage, because it's like, okay, Ryker can't climb the ladder and technically grab the titles because he's not in the match, but by God, he can beat the crap out of everybody else and he can distract them while the other two try to capitalize on that and win the titles for themselves. And that's almost what happened, except there was a moment of unity and Ryker got the shit kicked out of him, literally.
You talk about the numbers game being used against someone.
I mean, my God.
6 people, 1 ladder.
They just went for it.
For one split moment, it's all one team.
It was beautiful. And then they went back to killing each other. But it was beautiful for that one moment. You're just like, aw, they all love each other. And they hate, and they're united by Jackson, or by Riker, in stomping him out of existence.
The hatred of Riker overrode everything. It was beautiful.
It's wonderful. So, bless wrestling.
So Forgotten Sons are close to the belts and ready to win. Street Profits get back in the ring and they're like, nope, not going to be a thing. One delivers a spear. The other one, I think Ford gets up on the ladder, shoves one of the Forgotten Sons off of it, grabs the belts. The Street Profits are your new NXT Tag Team Champions.
No. He did not get on the ladder. He catapulted himself onto the ladder.
That was such a great spot.
That was sick.
We saw a moment like that in the men's Money in the Bank with Ricochet, being able to just kind of scale the ladder in a blink of an eye. Ford jumped from the top rope onto the ladder, and his facial expression just sold it, because as soon as he gets up there, it's just one of those cartoon looks like, sup, dropped him.
He's like, wow, the parkour move actually worked.
There's one thing I have to say that it's a nitpick thing about this match. I hate the combination ladder setup when you have both guys holding an end of the ladder and talking to set up like someone coming in to hit them. It happened two times, once with the Forgotten Sons and once with Fish and O'Reilly, where they pick it up and they kind of looked at each other and you could just tell it was a setup. I wish it flowed a little better, but overall, it doesn't take anything from the match.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like we just saw ladder matches with much more egregious setup spots that would take you out of the moment.
So yeah, new champs. I guess it's the right decision.
I feel like this match did a lot to help the Street Profits, because they showed up in this match. They worked their asses off just like everybody else in this match. Like, everybody showed up tonight and everybody did their job. But the Street Profits, this did a lot to, I don't want to say legitimize them, because it's not quite correct term, but basically legitimize them or re-legitimize them, because they were legit at one point, and then, like I said, Thursday they went away and we haven't seen them for a while, and now they're back, and this tonight was their coming out party again, where it's like, hey, we're here and we're good and we're coming for those titles because we want them. And it also gave us the most epic, like, post-match Triple H shot I think I've ever seen in my life.
Such like, a dork.
I love, no matter how badass Hunter tries to be on TV, it's like, no, honey, we all know you're a nerd now. Just don't. Just stop.
Yeah.
We love you. Just stop.
That's what happens when you invite Dad to parties with Red Solo cups.
He's standing there in a suit special with a Red Solo cup smiling. It's like, okay. All right.
All right. Cool. So we throw it to the intern for the Undisputed Era scorecard.
That would be 0-2. 0-2 so far.
All right, Matt, pick 'em results for this one.
Well, Lindsay, Omega, and I tried not to forget the Fallen or the Forgotten Sons, but they didn't win. The eight ball went with the team that most people semi-forgot in this match, Lorcan and Birch. Yeah, all right, so what's the next match?
Wait, what? What? Finish that? Finish that
Rock
off?
Made a pick, everyone. What? Rock made a pick.
What was the pick?
You picked the Street Profits. Holla holla.
Okay.
Should have been more obvious, because they had such practice in Evolve carrying belts.
By the way, this is the Rock Extra Reviews NXT TakeOver live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, because there was a TakeOver. That's why we're live. Fortnite with Friends will come up after this show. Go ahead.
I was going to transition it to you bring up extra. So, we come to the next match on the card. The one I think a lot of people were looking forward to. The match so extra, so dramatic, it needs its own replay. For the North American Championship, you have Tyler Breeze taking on the Velveteen Dream. Jesus. I need 10 more of these. And then they need to become BFFs and get married.
Tyler's back. We got the old entrance for Tyler. That was great.
Semi-old entrance. There was no stick.
Okay, semi-old entrance. We also got to see the Dream's fully evolved form.
Yeah, he's fully evolved into the Prince.
Yes, he became Prince, fully.
Those gold pants were something, man. They were just
He's going against Prince pretty. You might as well.
There's so much glitter. Oh my god, there was so much glitter in this match. Yes, it was great.
Speaking of glitter, Dream, dear, Get better pants. He spent half the match pulling them back up and arranging them. For God's sake.
Get a belt. He needs a belt. I mean, he has one technically, but he needs a belt, not a title belt.
Well, I mean, that's called this was a good idea on paper, but the material does not exist to pull this off.
Fashion advice brought to you by The Rack Extra.
Well, you line it. You line it with something that's going to stay up, and then you put the gold glitter over it. That's okay. I'm not going to tell a seamster how to do their job, but I'm just saying. You know, if you're going to use a slick fabric like that, you put something in the pants, like you put a little elastic in the pants, it'll hold it up. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, he spent a lot of the match arranging, but there was a lot of back and forth in this match. There was slapping, there was insult, there was just general awesomeness. I mean, I don't even know how to describe this match. I don't think I can.
They were on Instagram Live.
It was just incredible to watch. Like I said, I just need more of this.
My favorite part was Mauro trying to call this match.
Oh, it was hilarious.
And here's why. He called the moves as moves, and then someone in his ear is like, it's called the supermodel kick. It's called...
It's the beauty shot.
The beauty shot. Like, you can hear, like, he has this spinning, you know, kick. What? Oh, he hit it with the beauty shot.
That was Hunter. Or actually, it was probably Michael Cole going, no, dude, beauty shot. It's called the beauty shot. Because, I mean, Tyler Breeze left before Mauro Ranallo showed up. So Mauro, I don't think, ever called any of Breeze's matches.
No, and on Mauro's end, it's like he called the moves as they are. So it's like, it's great. But it's like he hit the spinning heel kick and he rolled to the outside and Mauro's trying to figure out, why was that a thing? Oh, right, it's the beauty shot. That's why it was like a big-to-do moment. They had a hell of a match. I'll say this. It was probably the worst match of the night.
And that's saying something.
That's saying something.
Yeah, it's saying something, because Breeze was clearly pissed about being on the shelf and wanted to prove something.
Right. They had a hell. It was not a bad match. It was a really good match. It was very enjoyable. You saw Breeze at his best. There was confidence there in his performance.
I loved how they were teasing the Unprettier so many times, and Dream ended up hitting it first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which was then followed by what did Breeze hit of Dreams? Because he followed it right up with that move. They stole each other's finish. I thought
was no Breeze kicked
no,
out
came,
of it.
That came in the main event.
That's right.
Start stealing.
Yeah.
Well, there was another sequence, and then Breeze finally got to hit the Unprettier and fucking spiked him.
Yeah.
That flip he was just like, yep, flipping, doing the flip.
Went a full 90 degrees to the ground.
90.
He became 90s, part 90s. Of the mat.
But it was, I just felt like they awkwardly shot that. But yeah, he did. He went for it. Full send. Went for it. But I think Tyler did have something to prove. I think he knows he's back in a place where they're going to take care of him, where they're going to treat him properly, and they're going to let him show what he can really do. He's back home. I don't mean this to be insulting, but Tyler is back where he belongs.
Yeah, that's one of the things with the intro package. They set it up as almost like, oh, he was demoted to NXT. He couldn't perform on the main roster. No, fuck that. He's in an environment which is better suited for him and his talents. The main roster is made for certain people. He's made for that kind of intimate audience and the kind of fan that will cheer him on. So I really wish they had just reframed that. But even if he didn't win the match tonight, he came out and he still looked like gold putting on the performance he did, which was nice to see.
He had his swagger back. He's darkened his hair.
Well, by the end, it was lighter.
Right?
It rubbed off the gold pants of Dream.
The wetness dried up, and oh, there's some bond.
But I feel like Tyler just needs to stay down in NXT until things on the main roster change. Because to me, it's not so much that he's not suited for the main roster, it's just he's not suited for the people necessarily running the main roster right now. And I think when the change of the guard eventually does happen,
won't happen.
Well, eventually, I mean, it has to.
Eventually,
one day, not anytime soon. And Tyler,
Vince might invent that, the immortal head technology from Futurama.
He could.
He may have it already somewhere. You never know.
He has a cryo chamber in his office. We just don't know about it. But yeah, no, I mean, eventually something is going to happen. I'm not going to bring it up on air, but something is going to happen in either Hunter or Shane or Steph or somebody is going to take over the main roster. And then that's when you're going to see, I think, some movement in the talent. And that's if Breeze is still there. Because, I mean, God knows Vince will probably live till he's 106.
That's what I was going to say. Breeze will retire by the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that could be another 30 years. We don't know, but
we're
being optimistic.
Right.
Being optimistic here that Vince is going to retire. No, but yeah. Anyway, Breeze is back in an environment where he belongs. I feel like Dream is where he needs to be. Please don't send him up. Please just keep him where he is.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot. Where there are just talent that the main roster is just not going to understand. And you're right. Not necessarily like they're not going to do well in front of a live crowd. Clearly, these guys did well in front of a live crowd. It's just certain gimmicks, certain personalities that the main writers just don't know what to work with because it's so out of the ordinary.
And because
we've spoken at length on WTR. You know, it just feels like the writers we got these days just want to write things a certain way, want to write things one particular way, and don't really know how to adapt it.
Or, as we've learned from other interviews, a certain old man is stuck in his ways.
Well, yeah, and I think
Don't mock. That was a killer promo.
Anyway, I think what it is it's a lot of this is born in NXT, and you have that one writing staff that is in NXT, and they come up with all this, and I think they have much more leeway than the writing staff up on the main roster does, because I don't feel like it's as micromanaged as what's on the main roster, just based on what we've all heard. So a lot of this can organically grow. You see that every week on TV as gimmicks evolve and change and are debuted, that they see what works and they see what doesn't work, good lord, and they tweak it and they adapt it and they grow it and get it into something that's going to work so it can be sent up. And so it's like you're doing a group project, essentially, right? You do all the work on it and you put all the love in it and you make it pretty and you make it awesome, and then you hand it off to the next person who doesn't really know what you've done or understand what you've done, and it feels like they almost don't talk to each other and give each other the concept of what this is supposed to be. And so you're just handing them this thing that you've loved and you've worked on, and then they take it and they do what they're going to do to it, and then they give it to the next person, and that person essentially does what they want to do to it, and it gets so twisted and bastardized by the end that the original concept is not what you see.
And by the way, Tyler going back to NXT is better than being moved to a certain Tuesday night show.
You know what? I'd rather him be on NXT than a Tuesday night show.
Yeah.
Because I get to see him again.
Yeah.
Good lord. I mean, God. Just getting to see him tonight, it's like, oh, he's back. Baby's back. Yes.
So the
Thank you.
So the finish was a little shenanigan, as it were. There was a championship belt involved that almost got used, but didn't really get used, but it caused enough distraction for Dream to hit his DDT and then his elbow for the victory. And then afterwards, fans were chanting for a selfie, and they got one.
There's a show of mutual respect.
Hmm.
Bromance. Bromance. Bromance.
I said, I want that a year later on Instagram as their anniversary photo.
Do it. A month from now, too, would be nice. Like, you know, when they become BFFs and they're being all, I don't know, dreamy together.
Can we tag them and, like, have them come out to Princes of the Universe?
Yes. Oh, God.
All right, pick-wise, where are we at, Brent?
Let's see. You picked Dream. Omega picked Dream. I picked Dream. Lindsay tagged with the 8-ball, and they were pinned for a 3-count.
That's okay.
The 8-ball is a treacherous whore.
We know that. All right, what's next?
Up next was your women's championship. It was on the line as the genius of the sky, Io Shirai, takes on the queen of spades, Shayna Baszler. For the women's title, you had essentially Candice LeRae in Io's corner, even though she wasn't out by ringside when she came out. And you had the horsewomen with Shayna, but she left them in the back. So it was initially Shayna versus Io. This was fantastic.
I have one criticism, and it's on Beth. It's like, can the genius of the sky get out of the clutch? Like, you don't just say Io. Can Io get out of it? You don't need to throw in the nickname. I know that's over to top producing in the year, but
I feel like she was told to say that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not on her. It's just she delivered the line, so it's on her.
I liked the beginning of this match. Mm-hmm. Really did. Because as soon as the bell hit, Io went running straight towards Shayna. Mm-hmm. Shayna pulled off she flipped her over, acted like she was going to kick her, and then lightly pushed her face with her foot just to kind of show her I can do what I want to with you. Mm-hmm. And then Io responded in kind of flipping her over, acting like she was going to kick, and then paintbrushing the shit out of her face.
And I like how they're like, Kairi Sane did that to Shayna Baszler, and it didn't turn out so well for her. And I'm like, okay, but the difference between the two is that Io Shirai doesn't give a fuck.
Io Shirai gave no fucks this entire match.
She, like, this entire feud. Not even the match, the entire view. She's just like, I'm tired of you, I'm done with you, I want your title, just get out of my way. I'm going to beat you up right now.
And the thing that she said essentially is, I'm not doing this just for the title, I'm doing this for the women's division. Which, to be fair, Shayna has run roughshod, as we talked about, for the past few months. She's had ownership of this, and Io is like, bitch, I've had enough, and I'm going to take you out on behalf of the girls in the back, because we don't want to deal with your shit.
This entire match was super good, super, super good. I love the story they told. I thought it was Io's coming out party.
Mm-hmm. We really finally got to see what she can actually do. Not that we haven't seen it before, but this was, like you said, this was her coming out party. This was her real debut. Because they kind of had her with Kairi, and then, they've kind of had her, they've like given you little tastes of what she's actually capable of. But now we really get to see it against someone like Shayna Baszler, which I like how they reference back to how they feuded in Japan before. These two know each other, and Io beat Shayna in Japan. Mm-hmm. Io knows how to beat Shayna. She's been there before, and I think she does hold a victory over Shayna in NXT, I think is what they said. But so it's like Io is a worthy competitor of Shayna, and they set it up as really this is Io's match to lose, because everybody was very confident that, well, if anybody can beat Shayna Baszler, it's got to be Io Shirai, right? Like, it's got to be her. And that's kind of that was the story that the announcers were sort of telling. And then you had a lot of really highly contested stuff back and forth between Io and Shayna, where they just went at each other. They just absolutely went, and Shayna kept Io grounded to a point. And then once Io was able to take flight, holy crap.
She took flight multiple times. Candice got involved to stop the horsewomen from getting involved. So, and the announcers pointed out, like, Io should be focusing on Shayna, not cheerleading, and that sort of cost her. In the end, she got trapped in
Kirifuda.
The Kirifuda clutch. After she did the cradle with the back bridge, and she left her neck open, and she just was stuck from that point on, and she fought her heart out. She went, tried and tried and tried to get to the ropes.
This is what I miss. I hate when submissions cause a tap out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when a face does it. It makes no sense. It doesn't... Like, I love the storytelling you can have when you see someone struggling to get out like this.
Mm-hmm. But the story, I think, about this is after the match.
So, Io was unable to get out of it. She tapped out, and then she had enough. Oh, she had enough. She started just beating the crap out of Shayna Baszler. And by the end, the Shayna's back was sliced
up. She got a little inspiration from Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nice thing was, Candace brought down the kendo stick to beat up the girls. And then Shayna's sitting on the rope celebrating, and Io comes running in with a kendo stick. And yeah, just, I don't even know how to describe it. She beat her like a government mule,
mm-hmm.
jumped up onto the top rope effortlessly, of course, there we go, I can speak, hit the moonsault, and then wasn't done. She called for Candace to give her a chair, and Candace had to look like, are you sure? Takes the chair, and then does the moonsault while holding the chair, and delivers it to Shayna, with the entire crowd losing their damn mind.
God, this was some ECW nonsense. This was awesome.
In comparison to the ladder match, this is one of the most hardcore things of the night. This really was. Like, she just flipped that like it was nothing. And it's like, oh, okay. All right. But Brent, I just want to make this reference to you.
Yes.
And so Io heard the bell. She burned it down.
She burned it down.
She had enough.
Well, like I said in the chat, what I really hope that they do is that on Wednesday night, either this week or next week,
would be next week.
Okay, she walks out next week. Shayna has the belt, and she has that kind of smirk to her face, and she's like, "Look, I still have this," and I just want Io to walk right out and be like, "You know what? You may have that, but after the match, I owned you." And just let that eat at Shayna. The fact that it's like, oh yeah, she still has the title, but wait, I was left laying after the match. That shouldn't have happened. And let it fester with her to the point where she goes to Regal and is like, I want her ass in a ring. We've seen the people chasing Shayna, but I want Shayna to look at someone and be like, no, I got humiliated. I want her.
Give me a hardcore match between these two women at TakeOver Toronto.
Yes. Yes, that would
be beautiful.
Because, the wonderful, sympathetic NXT crowd, after this all goes down and Io walks away with her head held high and Shane is laying there, stunned, groaning in pain, is chanting at Shayna Baszler, "You deserve it."
Yeah.
Shane is laying there looking like she's trying to count how many of her ribs she has left. And the crowd is just merciless.
Like, all she's seeing is little flying EOs around her head.
Speaking of
good job, NXT crowd. Good job.
Speaking of the NXT crowd. Speaking of the NXT crowd, we gotta go back to the ladder match for a minute. And Jason Ryker, we forgot you.
Okay, as much shit as I give the WWE crowd at times, they showed up tonight and they were worth it.
The NXT crowd's usually on point like that.
Yeah.
All right. Picks, Brent.
Rock went with Shayna Baszler. He teamed with the Treacherous 8-Ball for Shayna Baszler, and the rest of us thought it was time to take the title off of her, but dear God, I think it was still worth it to watch Io beat the ever-living hell out of her.
I will sub the points for the moonsault with the chair.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I got points for that.
How do we mean to get points for that?
I have Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, you mentioned with the chair. I was like, wait, why'd you compare it for a chair? So, a couple things we need to address before we get to the main event. One, Sean and the Road Dog were in the crowd.
Oh, God. Oh, crazy uncles. Do not let them out.
Stephanie McMahon was in the crowd.
Woohoo!
And on August 31st, at 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 local, NXT UK TakeOver again. I mean,
they're going all out for this show.
Who do you love more? That's all I'm going to say. Who do you love more? Because they're going to throw their guys out there, their guys and girls. It's like, all right, y'all want to play.
So what I've learned, and Hunter mentioned this, they've had the book before, this venue booked long before WrestleMania, so has nothing to do with another show.
You know, I wonder if they'll make, if someone may make some special appearances on that show.
Nah, doubt it.
I bet it gets a little bit more loaded up than previously would have been expected to.
I mean,
just The Rock fucking shows up.
I mean, the last one.
No, I don't think they're going to go that far, but.
The last one had Finn, so who knows?
The lights go out, Taker walks out. Fucking
well, he could.
He could.
It's got to be pre-announced, so it pulls people away.
So, you have. From what I've learned, you have NXT TakeOver that day, you have the AEW All Out show, and then there's also a New Japan show. So, good God, wrestling overload on a Saturday night. Enjoy that, people.
Like I said,
you got your pick.
Who do you love more?
And I think
take your pick.
I think it's all back to back to back. So if you watch Jesus. If you watch all that,
you're gonna be Stan Marsh at the end.
Welcome to Indie Mania.
Congrats.
It kind of is. Like everyone who isn't working Raw is going to be on that Saturday.
Now, which show finishes the day? Is it the New Japan or is it the...
I would think it's Chicago. I'm not sure.
Because whichever one gets the end is going to be just spent.
Well, I feel like it kind of depends.
I'm not sure how that lines up.
I think New Japan actually would start it just based on time zones. And then it's a question of what time AEW starts versus what time WWE starts. Because again, I think actually WWE will be midday because it's UK.
WWE is 3 p.m. It's 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 8 local. New Japan. Oh, New Japan Royal Quest is in London on August 31st.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Cardiff versus London. Oh, shit.
So that's going up against TakeOver.
Well, again.
Well.
If you love more. But yeah, so should be a fun day for wrestling. That's
some mafia shit right there.
17:30, that's what, 5:30, right? 17:30 is like 5:30? Yeah. So that's a 5:30 start local time.
So, I mean, realistically, you could get out of TakeOver. You could miss the first couple matches on New Japan and go to New Japan.
No, New Japan would be first. That's 5 p.m. local. New Japan's the local time in there. So 5:30 local there, it'd be 8. God bless you all. Anyway, main event. Let's go.
Yeah. Just Noam Gabi Gabi. You know, have fun with that. So the main event, the highly anticipated rematch between Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano for your NXT Championship. Johnny was Captain Marvel. He was channeling his inner Carol Danvers. Take that for what you will in this match. And Adam Cole has a chip on his shoulder as, God damn it, somebody in this group has to have gold in 2019 because it has been prophesized that Undisputed Era will be draped in gold in 2019. And, you know, he is convinced that he can beat Johnny Gargano because he beat him once, but then Johnny Gargano beat him twice. So, you know, is Adam Cole right? Is he wrong? Is Johnny right? Is Johnny wrong? They're going to fight about it, and they fought about it, and I'm spent.
There were some.
How about y'all?
The entrance. Adam's entrance. Russell and Phil.
NXT has hype men. Yay.
I just find it really interesting that nobody else had a special entrance except for Adam Cole.
And Adam Cole really just had a better Leo Rush.
But what's interesting is, like, Adam almost looked a little annoyed by it.
Yeah, Adam was just kind of like, let's get through this.
Maybe no one told him about it. Maybe they just sent him out there by a surprise.
No, because it was perfectly timed where he was, like, waiting on the guy to get to his cues. Because Adam does his little boom and he does his, you know, bebe, and he does all the other things that he does during his entrance, and so he was waiting for the guy to get there, basically, or he got to the baby too quick, and then he was waiting on him to get to the boom, and he's, like, standing there awkwardly on the ring, and he's like, come on, I gotta do the hand motion, come on, there it is, boom.
But yeah, I liked it. I thought the dude rapped really well.
Oh, he was great. He was awesome.
And then this match, just, like, they delivered. That's everything you need to know. They delivered.
This was a thing. A really, really great thing.
Again, I need another one. I need more of this in my life so much.
The energy that picked up at the end.
Well, again, it was another good story being told throughout this match of Johnny working the arm and being fairly vicious about it, and Adam countering by going after the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is they both were doing things with impairments. So it's like, Johnny would go for the Gargano escape, but Adam would start, you know, would work the knee in the move, and Johnny would have to let go. The one point I loved is when Johnny folded his leg up onto the other so that he couldn't use that as a, you know, as a weapon, or Cole couldn't use that as a weapon against Johnny. There was a lot of just little things that both men did throughout this match with these impairments that just showed how good of workers they are.
Yeah, so the Panama Sunrise on the outside.
Oh God! Oh, ow.
Jesus!
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite spots was when it was towards the end, and Cole ready to hit him with the last call, or I think it's last call or last shot, whatever it's called.
Last shot.
And then Johnny's just—he's in position, and he just falls down dead.
Flop. Just nope.
Not gonna be a thing. But the tease of having Undisputed, like, having the Tease of Undisputed Era come out and they don't show up and Johnny's in a panic. He's holding the chair. He's waiting for them to come up and they're not there. It's like, where are they? And it caught him off guard.
Yeah, we all thought shenanigans were going to happen during this match. During the match, we saw the referee go down, mm-hmm. and everyone's first response was, okay, here come the boys, and they didn't pay it off, which was a really great thing, because we've talked before, we talked during our show, or during the CB Radio Not So Live, and then also on Thursday, of some things have gotten predictable.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of those instances in which they toyed with you about the predictable, because you thought, oh, this is what's going to happen, but they didn't pay it off. And it was really nice to see that, because now it's going to start to become, well, wait, is this going to be that point? Are they going to come out? Oh, I guess not. Huh.
Which is good. So it's like your brain's trained for one thing, and then it's, wait.
Well, I also feel like because of what happened that earlier in the night with Kyle and Bobby, with Roderick, that it's like, they really shouldn't come out and fight, because it's like Kyle O'Reilly should be lying like face down on a bench somewhere resting because the child again went through hell. The same thing for Bobby Fish. The same thing for Roderick Strong. Like, they all had their matches. They all went to war. This is Adam Cole's match to win or lose, and he should have to do it on his own. And I think that's what the point of this match was Adam Cole's going to do it on his own. He doesn't need the boys.
Mm-hmm.
He's got something to prove to himself, which is, and to everybody else, or it's like, you think I need them? I don't need them. I can do this on my own. Which is the story that they really kind of told from the promo package to the very end of the match, because it's like Johnny was like, you leave your boys in the back and let's see what we can do.
Yeah, and one of the other things that was nice to see is Adam Cole started, you know, throughout the match, got more and more manic. Like, mm-hmm. He'd hit the Panama Sunrise, and Johnny would kick out. And he's just like, okay, he shouldn't have done that, but let's keep going. Then he hit the last shot, and if you remember, the 1-2, the ref kicked out. And that's when he started to turn to the ref, and he's like, you're costing me this. And you could see him starting to just become unhinged. Like, I have to beat Johnny. What's going on? Until finally, at the very end of the match, he strings together a bunch of those moves to really make sure Johnny is put away.
Which led to a brand new NXT champion, Adam Cole.
Bay.
Mega thoughts or not?
He's just speechless.
He's speechless. All right, cool. So, yeah, there was the match.
At the end of the match, we saw the boys. They all came out to celebrate.
It was awesome. That's how
left of them came out to celebrate.
Bobby Fish has needed a little bit of help for his arm. He was wearing a sling. Kyle O'Reilly was walking, so we know he is not, you know, dead from the first night. Maybe someone did take him out for ice cream, as per Lindsay's suggestion.
They should have. I mean, my God. But no, I feel like, I know you made a comment that it's like, well, that was only a month and a half reign for Johnny, and I agree, I would have liked to have seen it be longer, and that doesn't mean that he can't win the title again at some point, and he can't have a longer reign. But this was almost Adam Cole's time. You've sort of built Adam Cole and you've groomed him to be the champion, and everybody's knew it was a matter of, you know, how long they were going to wait to give him the title. And it's like, you had to get Tommaso and Johnny settled and out of the way before you ever pointed Adam Cole seriously at that title. And so it's like, now kind of makes sense, because you can build to that rematch between Johnny and Adam if you want, or you can build to the match between Roddy and Johnny, or Matt Riddle, or I should say Roddy and Adam, or Matt Riddle and Adam, or whoever you want. You're kind of opening a door by putting a heel champion in there, because now you can target your baby faces at him. But it would have been nice to see Johnny have just a little bit longer of a reign. That's my only criticism of it, is it's like Johnny was had worked so hard to get that title, and he only really had it for a very short period of time.
Well, the title can play into the storyline that we've seen starting over a little bit, which is one of the things I like, is that they're doing kind of long-term stories. So we saw the 2-year story of Johnny getting up to the top of the mountain. Now that Cole has the belt, you can kind of play off a little bit of, you know, does someone in the group have an eye for that. And we can start to play that out a little bit more, you know, over the next couple of weeks or month or a few months if need be.
So the Undisputed Era scorecard is what?
1-2!
All right.
Ding. I genuinely thought between how short that title reign was and the two losses they took that night that it was going to be 0-3 and we were going to start seeing an implosion.
Everything's A-okay in the Undisputed Era. So picks on the match were what?
Well, this is where see what happened was, we all, in terms of our expectations, thought that Johnny Champion would be leaving the show with the belt. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We all picked Johnny.
I should have went with my original guy. I was like, it's Cole's time, but I got sucked into the group and went with Johnny.
It's okay, because I got points, baby.
All right, overall scores.
Lindsay got Matt Riddle right.
Yay!
But nothing else. Omega, myself, and the 8-Ball, we all got Riddle right, and then one other match between the couple of us, so we all went 2-3, and Rock went 4-1.
What was that?
I said the results. You just need to listen better.
Okay. I know we don't do this, and Lindsay has no idea I'm doing this, but I have to play a bit, and then we got to do a thing. So, it's Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
One tweet, because that's all it's needed. Walmart.
You played the entire Tweet of the Week intro for one goddamn tweet?
Yes.
Just wait.
Walmart. Prince Pretty was Velveteen Dream back
no,
with Patrick
you
Clark.
You can't have that. I have that for Thursday.
We can repeat on Thursday.
And Dad are fighting again.
Prince Pretty was Velveteen Dream back when Patrick Clark was sitting in hot tubs on Tough Enough.
Fine. I get the rest of that. I get the reply to that.
Okay, that's fine.
You'll hear that again on Thursday because there's a whole thread based
there's
on that.
I just wanted it was fitting for tonight.
But you could have saved it for Thursday.
It fit tonight.
Thursday.
Omega, they're fighting again.
Uh-huh. And?
God.
That's our show.
All right. You got stuff to plug, so Omega, plug away.
So, if you want to hear more from me and what I do, you can follow me over on Facebook at TJ Reviews. Follow me over on Twitter at TJ Omega. TJ Omega is also the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for a few extra videos, there is always TJOmega.net.
All right, Brent?
Well, I don't really have much that you can follow me on, except you can, if you want to respond to any asinine thing that I may have said during this or any other shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. And the total number is now up to 2050 straight days on the way to beating Cal Ripken.
He'll be with
it's not
me.
Healthy, dude.
It's not. But he'll be with me later tonight on CB Radio during the Greater Than Great Debate.
Wait, what?
Cheese.
Oh, God.
Cheese. It's what's for dinner. Cheese. It's a list. That's midnight-ish after Fortnite with Friends, which is coming up in a minute. Sundays are Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday nights are Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Little Rock Live to preview Super Showdown. It's Rock Raider Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can support the show by subscribing to us on Twitch. How do you do that? Well, if you have Amazon Prime, you link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe to the channel for free. You can also support us by using creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LANSWRD. So for Rock, for Omega, for Brent, this has been the RAC Extra Reviews and the RAC in general right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody, go check out MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, and stick around because we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. And when we come back, we will be playing Fortnite with friends. So till then,